World Mental Health Day falls on the 10th of October this year, and the chosen theme is the pastoral care of older people. It presents us with the opportunity to reflect on the role that the Catholic community can play in supporting not just people experiencing mental distress, but also their families and carers. In this podcast series, we talk to mental health professionals with years of experience in their chosen field. Today, we're joined by Julia Head, a specialist chaplain and team leader. She starts by telling us a little bit more about what's involved in being a mental health chaplain.
Well, mental health chaplains are first and foremost usually employed by the NHS, but what we do covers a wide spectrum of things. First of all, we're there to work with the spiritual and religious and faith-based needs and worldviews of service users and patients. We're there to support very much staff and the institution as a whole. We can be spread across quite a wide area, which marks us out as slightly different to a lot of acute chaplaincy departments. And we work across hospital and community sites as well. So you can imagine it's quite a large territory, and we have to let most people need to know that we're there if they need our services. As I say, the major aspect of our care is to respect and to safeguard, in a way, and to work with the spiritual and religious needs of service users and patients, both in hospital and the community. We can do that in a very much more overt way. We exercise worship in the different sites, but also we work one-to-one with patients and service users in perhaps in the ward setting or the community setting as well. We can also work with referrals that come from a variety of different avenues. And as I say, we also work with staff, both with staff support, team support, with individual staff counselling, supervision. We can also help with memorial services, if you know, so all those different aspects of the chaplains usually do. We're doing it in a mental health context.
When it comes to any sort of chaplaincy, I presume that communication is very important, understanding an individual's needs, and obviously they're going to vary. Is that more acute, though, with people with mental health challenges, getting to grips with what their needs are, especially pastorally and spiritually?
Yes, I suppose it's difficult, this. I may have other chaplains fighting me. But in the mental health context, I often think of it as the microcosm of life, which really comes up for so much examination. So spiritual distress can show itself really in that struggle for meaning, in the struggle to try and re-establish a meaning framework for one's life. Often with mental health care, we're working with people who have very powerful religious experiences or religious delusions, religious ideas. And of course, they are interfacing with their mental health, their mental distress and mental health challenges as well. So it's about discerning what might be going on in the individual's experience and working very sensitively with that, both with the individual, maybe their family as well, also their carers, also the medical and clinical staff as well.
And do the staff ever come to you saying, look, I have this patient, this service user that has a particular need, and I feel I need a bit of help from you on the spiritual side?
Yes, we get a lot of referrals from staff. The referrals will often be for just a visit to an individual may have requested a visit from a chaplain. We are a multi-faith team too, but we also visit in a generic way. So it can be for individual visits on the ward. It can be referrals for people who are actually in the community, so they just need a referral. We get referrals from psychologists, from psychiatrists, from occupational therapists as well, across the whole spectrum of mental health care. And that may be for more in-depth work on maybe a spiritual or religious issue presenting itself and just to work gradually with the individual on that, and but also whilst liaising with the referrers as well.
How commonplace is it that somebody with a particular mental health challenge would come to you saying, you know, I'm having problems in the community with, you know, people don't understand, or there's that breakdown of understanding, that's still the taboo nature of how those without mental health challenges approach those with. Do you get that a lot?
Yes, we do. We do. And again, that's a very difficult scenario for a lot of people. It can be very painful for people who have mental health needs to go maybe to their local faith community and to, you know, perceive, they may not be told outright, but actually to perceive that maybe they're not understood, or maybe an individual might carry that sense with them. So it can be a very difficult scenario, that, and quite a painful one for people. Very often people don't want to work with somebody from their own faith, because some of the questions that are coming up for them at times of real acute disturbance, very often they may feel embarrassed to talk about with somebody from their own faith, or they may feel a bit ashamed to talk about them. And so sometimes someone who's a little bit more objective, it can be very helpful for that individual. Because that's what spiritual care is about in the mental health context. It's not always so much about the overt religious care, but it is very much about this meaning-making. It is, if we think of spirituality as the essence of who we are, it's about how do I deal with all of this that's going on in my mind. There can be many strands to an individual's experience, and religion, spirituality, guiding philosophies can be part of that. So it's just how we unwrap some of that as well sometimes, or simply just sometimes sit with an individual who may be too disturbed to talk about any of these things.
Is there an issue, do you think, that some of our default positioning could be, oh, that's really difficult and that person's suffering? It's all sort of very negative and fear and all these things attached to certainly looking on when someone is particularly feeling it and dealing with some of their mental health challenges. Yeah. Do you think that's a problem, that we go at it from a fear, a sadness, a sympathy? I mean, there has to be some joy and some proper happier care involved, doesn't it?
I like that. It's a lovely question, actually, because it's really, really important. I think it relates somewhat to your last question as well, because it's the stigma that attaches to mental health that's so difficult, isn't it? And sometimes that can be extremely oppressive for people who have mental health challenges and needs. So again, it's what's coming from what people who are supposedly without these challenges are assuming about that individual. And very often what they see is just the disturbance, and that human relating can go. But actually, it's difficult to see people in their fullest humanity. But to understand that this is somebody who likes to laugh as well as cry, who likes to enjoy life, who has very often the same desires as anybody else has in life. And there can be a lot of fun in mental health work. And actually, with the recovery philosophy, which is very prominent in mental health care at the moment, it's very much about how we can, from a practitioner point of view, rediscover better ways of working that we might have had when we were first in the work, because we all get into patterns, don't we? And we can think, oh, well, here we go again. But actually, for us to share our humanity and to understand the needs of an individual, mental health needs, it takes a lot of self-reflection to do that.
I'm going to finish, Julia, with one of those difficult questions. What do you think we can do, not just as Catholics, as people of faith, but how can we make things better or understand just that little bit better the challenges that people face when it comes to mental health?
Do you mean in the parish context, or do you mean generally?
Yeah, I think whether we're a nurse, whether we're a parishioner, how can we just sort of improve the way we look at it and deal with it with our own humanity in mind, as you say?
Yeah, I think obviously this can go across all faiths, but I think that spirit of openness And love is a word that actually is being used in services, believe it or not, and in contemporary healthcare quite a lot nowadays, however you understand that. But I think for me, this would begin with the nurse or the doctor, and indeed the chaplain. But also, when we're working in mental health, we're working with another individual. And it's what happens in that encounter that can teach practitioners, including chaplains, so much about themselves. And it's really important to have that self-reflective practice and to think, well, this got set up for me when I was in encounter with this person. What is that about in me? And that's about change, and it's about understanding that sometimes reactions or interactions aren't going to be quite as we imagined they might be, but also that spirit of understanding of the challenges that that individual is facing in life and in society generally, I think is really important. It's at the heart of it for me.